over the globe, and recordings as well. And of course, on the internet, they can tap into it anywhere. So it's growing and growing and growing, and God is gathering His small remnant together. You know, in the large population that's in this world right now, there just is a small remnant. It's amazing. You know, you may talk about thousands of people, but on a worldwide basis, that is what? Very little, isn't it? And that's all that's left. Because churches and religion are absolutely given over to the devil. They have crosses on the roof, but the devil's in the pulpit. That's kind of a bold statement, isn't it? But it's true! And we measure it by the Word of God. And that's how we know. It's a sad and pathetic time, but it does fulfill the Scripture that says that the time would come when there would be a famine, not for bread, but for the hearing of the Word of the Lord. And that people would go in all directions, as the Bible tells us, from north to south, east, west, everywhere, seeking the Word of the Lord, and shall not find it. Now, what a time that is, that we have all these institutions that are actually counterproductive, working for the devil in the name of so-called Christianity. But we are living in that time, and it's that serious. You know, at some point in time, we all have to wake up to the fact that it's very late in time. I don't think that all of us, or maybe not any of us, really think enough about that. The lateness of the hour, the nearness of the Lord's coming. I was talking to my bird this morning, my parrot, and I told him, Professor, there's trouble in this world. He said, trouble, trouble. And he said, evil people. See? And that bird knows people are basically in this Antichrist-oriented world, evil. The Bible tells us that. John wrote of it in the Scripture, did he not? He said, the whole world lieth in wickedness. We live in a time when people are looking to Washington to solve all the problems when they are actually creating all the problems. And every time they want to bring about a condition, they create a problem demanding a solution to bring about the condition they wanted in the first place. And we need to realize that. I know it was Franklin Delano Roosevelt, FDR. Some people used to call him Saint Roosevelt. But can you imagine? Well, now come on, with Barack Obama, they used to call him the One. Now they're starting to call him the Anointed One. The Anointed One. We're in trouble. No matter who you think you could choose, we're in trouble, except for one thing. Even though we're in this world, we're not of it. Thank God for that. I don't subscribe to anything they're doing. Nothing. But as Jesus said, you know, you look around and wonder, where can you look? Jesus told us. He said, when you see these things begin, and they've begun a long time ago, when you see these things begin to come to pass, then look up. For your redemption draweth nigh. Who's going to save you from Obama? The son of Cain? McCain, is he going to... Do you realize if that 72-year-old man becomes president, that 72-year-old man in poor health, that you are one heartbeat away from Sarah Palin being president? A woman that I can truthfully say knows absolutely, she knows as much about being president as I do about piloting a submarine. She knows, I've listened to her, she knows nothing. She's being used, she's a Barbie doll being used by the Republican Party. It's amazing the things that are going on right now. But I started a message last week. We're going to continue on. I would like to sing a chorus as we go into the Scripture. We'll be turning to Isaiah chapter 5, a message that I started last week and will hopefully finish today, entitled Trouble in the Vineyard. We're going to sing a chorus in worship to God as we go into Scripture. And I can't think of a better one right now than Keep On Walking by Faith, because that's what we've got to do. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know He won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know He won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. One more time. Just keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know He won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. It's always good to give the Lord a praise. Amen. Thank God. Well, praise His holy name. We are turning to Isaiah chapter 5. Trouble in the vineyard. Now, I can't go back to the beginning. We'd be doing it all over again. But if you didn't hear last week's message, you can get a copy of it. We'll have one for you if you request it. What we're going to do is back up just a little bit to verse 8. I can tell you that the Lord compares His people, in this case, to a vineyard. The prophet Isaiah looked at Israel and saw a vineyard. And if you recall, God said through the prophet, I have planted a vineyard. And He did everything that He could to make it perfect. And yet it didn't bring forth grapes. It says sour grapes, which is taken from a Hebrew word which means poison berries. How do you plant something ever so properly and make all the accommodations and arrangements for it and get poison or venom back from it? Well, Jesus also told us a parable about how an enemy had come in and sowed tares among the wheat. We understand that Satan's job is to corrupt individual lives, families, cities, counties, states, nations. And he has done that. Perhaps some of you here, and I think really, if you're honest, all of you would have to say that Satan at some time or another has had quite an influence in your life. And of course, he does that. That's what he's all about. But we have a Redeemer, a Sanctifier, a Savior that calls us out of the realm of the darkness of this world and brings us into a place where we can have faith and hope and put our trust in God and overcome the things that have been tearing at us and pulling us down and rearranging our lives for the worst, trying to bring us into a conformity with an antichrist system. And the Bible tells us that we must present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is, the Bible says, your reasonable service. Romans chapter 12. And then it says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That doesn't come through conformity to the world. That comes by standing up and being different. Standing up with the light of God, with an everlasting gospel, something that is foreign to churches today. If you went into most of these churches today and tried to give them the truth, they'd give you the bum's rush out. Because they don't have it and they don't want it. And they're walking blindly. The blind leading the blind, and what happens? They all fall in the ditch. And I'll tell you what, we are seeing multitudes going for the ditch right now. Isn't that something? These politicians up there think they're going to fix all of this? And then when it doesn't work, they go running for the tall grass, don't they? Well, there's going to be a lot of running for the tall grass pretty soon. Actually, what the Bible says is they're going to hide in the rocks of the earth. In fact, they've already got that set up over there in the mountains of Virginia. That underground place, that underground city with all of its own self-contained electrical generating and water plants and all this. And if the whole thing is all set up for them to hide from the Lord Jesus Christ when He returns. But that's not going to work, folks. Now, we're going to continue on in verse 8. The Lord said, I planted this vineyard. It brought forth sour grapes. He said, what I'm going to have to do is break it down. What you're witnessing right now in the United States, and by the way, I've got to qualify something. Some would say this prophecy means nothing to us because it just was for Israel. I've got news for you. As long as the world stands, when you have like conditions, those prophecies fit that condition because God never changes. And so what has happened before happens again. There's an old saying that history repeats itself. That's really true when you flunk it. But anyway, that history repeats itself, that it seems like things happen over and over and over again. Like prophecies are being fulfilled time and again and time and again. They are! As long as the course of the age continues. But there is a final fulfillment. There is a culmination. There's a consummation. When it gets down to the end, it is a rapid fire fulfillment of them all. As it all comes together and enfolds itself and time runs out and the great last trumpet sounds, it all comes together. Everything that God has ever ordained is fulfilled. There are no fragments. It all has to end in God's perfect way, in the perfect harmony of the fulfillment of every one of these prophecies. We must understand that. So what I'm saying to you is, because Israel was in idolatry, in astrology, in all of these... Well, let me show you something. I wasn't going to do this, but it just occurred to me. Actually, this came up a little earlier. Hold on to your page in Isaiah. And we are going to go for just a moment to the book of Deuteronomy. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 18, the Lord told His people, He absolutely forbade them to ever get involved in certain things. And I'm going to tell you in advance that our United States government, using taxpayer money, using all of their resources that they have fleeced from the people, you can tell this is not a 501c3 approved message. All right? Okay? With all the resources they've got, they have engaged themselves in occultism. Did you ever, before I read a word here, did you stop to think what happened last night? Now I realize most people don't know, I've got a kind of a unique background. I used to be a witch before God saved me. I'm not proud of that, I'm ashamed of it. I was that stupid because I was involved in the craft, primarily as an astrologer. But it shows the power of God to save. And God does have power to save to the uttermost. What I'm saying is if there's hope for me, there's certainly hope for you. Praise the Lord. Last night, they put together a bailout package. $750 billion, and that's only to start with. That just supposedly covers a fraction of what already has happened. That doesn't take into account the 1,000 banks that are slated for failure right now, including Wachovia. It's about to go down. Another huge one. But that only is a little piece of it. This thing is just it's like putting a Band-Aid on an arterial wound. It's not going to work. They know it isn't going to work. Old Roosevelt, I started to say earlier, made the statement, if it happens, it's because you can bet that we planned it that way. Remember? All right. Now, last night, as I'm going to try and put this in the proper wording here so you can get the picture of it all, because pictures are worth 1,000 words. We'll try and put together a picture here. Last night, overlooking the Potomac from Crystal City, there the dome of the Capitol lighted. Inside you had the meeting going on to put together the bailout package. There was a bad moon rising, as Creedence Clearwater Revival sang about. Remember that song? I see a bad moon rising. I see trouble on the way. I see earthquakes and lightning. I see a bad time today. Don't go around tonight. It's bound to take your life. There's a bad moon on the rise. What is a bad moon? Bad moon actually is known as the dark mother moon. When the last amounts of light are leaving the moon so that it becomes a new moon, the dark moon. That's called the dark mother in the occult. As that is fading out and the last light is leaving, which it was last night. See, they have this thing timed, you know. And so that dark mother moon of Maban, which is, of course, the witch's Sabbath, the 22nd of December, this was the dark moon closest to that. They're sitting there, and at the midnight hour, they come up with the package. All right? You know, it sounds like a coven meeting, doesn't it? The midnight hour, the dark mother moon, and then to top it off, you've got a tropical storm moving up the coast, Kyle, which means that the word Kyle actually comes from the Irish and Scotch Gaelic, refers to a narrow place in the woods, that's the literal meaning of the name, a place where coven meetings are held. That's known as a Kyle. Here's Hurricane Kyle. Well, it's Tropical Storm Kyle moving, zeroing in on Washington, D.C. All right? Increases in strength. Now, it's coming in over land, right on the edge. It skirts the area of the Potomac, doesn't hit it, and moves straight for Salem, Massachusetts, where the witches gather. Right? So here's Kyle gaining strength, becomes a hurricane, Category 1. While they're having their meeting, you got this hurricane zeroing in on the source of their power in Salem, Massachusetts. Can any good thing come out of Massachusetts? Barney Frank? That queer little pansy boy? And he's the one on the head of this big committee, you know, to straighten this thing out. Oh, by the way, President Bush did mention that these people, because now the very ones that caused the problem, these executives in these companies, he said they need to be paid for straightening this out. So what we're going to do is pay them $1 million a month salary to straighten out the mess that they caused. Now, if you caused the mess, would you expect somebody to give you $1 million a month to fix it? And that's pocket money for them. Only in America, right? The land of opportunity. The land of the deceived and the home of the depraved is what it's become. Again, I say, this is not a 501c3 approved message. But as long as God approves it, that's fine. Because I'm telling it like it is. This is how it is. There are a bunch of witches up there in Washington. Now, they're not all witches. The ones that aren't belong to the witches. They're operating in collusion with them. They believe in power. This is no coincidence with October coming up, with that dark mother moon last night that went into phase exactly as perfect timing as they put together their resolution. And then, oh, there's so much to this. The moon itself actually was in the constellation Libra, which is the balance scales, you know, justice, equity. When you have the dark mother in justice, it means no justice at all, complete injustice. It puts it into a reverse aspect or meaning. They had this thing planned to the letter. There's too much to be coincidental. These people are occultists. And are you surprised? Where else would Satan want to be? Where else would his principalities and powers want to operate out of? See, it's all crumbling. I saw something the other day. Lehman Brothers. The gigantic Lehman Brothers. Not only did their bank fail in the United States, but a Japanese firm bought Lehman Brothers Europe for a grand total of $2. Not per share, $2, period. $2. Lehman Brothers Europe. You know why? Because their liabilities are so far greater than their assets, you really bought nothing. All you did was lay your $2 on the gambling table, hoping that Congress would send you money to bail them out too. And they've already talked about bailing out all the banks everywhere in the world that had anything to do with U.S. currency. I've been watching the national debt clock. It had been rising at a rate of $2.5 billion a day. Now, it's exponential. I looked at it a week ago. It was $9.695 trillion, I believe it was. A couple days later, it already jumped to $9.765 trillion. This morning, it was $9.865 trillion. Billion. It's going up so fast you can't count it. There's no way you could, without a computer, you couldn't keep track of it. It's kind of like that 2001 A Space Odyssey. Remember that movie came out years ago and then they had a 2010? Remember the computer system ran the spaceship? Well, they're out there looking for that black block, John, that Ashler. Huh? That's all Masonic. If you saw that movie, you had been to church and you saw masonry in action. It was quite a piece of masonry. But I brought it up for this reason. In that movie, they had a computer named HAL, H-A-L, which is one letter short of IBM, right? And as the captain of the ship was trying to take control, the computer said, "You know you can't run this ship without me." And he was right. They needed the computer to survive. We are living in such a time as mankind is now subject to and subservient to an electronic computer system hooked up in the form of a web and a net. Think. A web and a net, cannot work without it, cannot bank without it, cannot do anything really to any great extent without this system. And it works on airwaves, the prince of the powers of the air. Our airwaves, which are saturated with smut, sex, pornography, wickedness of every kind, God sees everything going through these airwaves. You and I don't see it. They're electrified impulses traveling at rapid speeds. But God sees everything going on constantly, which makes me wonder how in the world can He put up with it another minute. But He is gracious and long-suffering, waiting for those final few, the last few berries at the top of the tree. Did you know it tells us that in Isaiah? That there's just a few berries on the bush, so to speak. Just a little fruit at the top of the tree. How do you get that? The top, that's the hardest to harvest, isn't it? Notice how hard it is to harvest people? All you can do is get a hold of that tree and shake it. Rattle their cage. They need hard preaching. They need to hear outrageous things that interrupt their lives. They can go home and not be able to function until they call upon God. The devil's out there with 1,000 distractions so that you don't think about God. You don't think about the end times. The sun will come up tomorrow morning, won't it? It'll be up there. Who knows? One time will come up, it'll be its last. So, Now that we got that straightened out, we had an occult meeting in our country last night as we move into October, the witching month, celebrated by a dark mother moon in Libra at the witching hour. And that's when they came up with their fix-it-up package. And so now everybody can think, isn't that wonderful? The government fixed it. Now everything will be just fine. Huh? Is it ever? All the violence on the streets, remember they passed the Brady Bill. You can go anywhere in New York now, or Chicago, south side of Chicago, freely walk out at midnight, go anywhere. They passed the Brady Bill, see? Right? You can do anything, now you're all right. You get the point? They do nothing. There's nothing they can do. We need Jesus Christ and Him only. He's the only one who can help us. And thankfully, we know He will. But here God is talking about this vineyard that He planted. And what a mess this world is. What a vineyard full of poison berries. God said, I'll tear it down. I'll take down the defenses. I'm just going to break down the tower of it. Towers do come down, don't they? Now, in verse 8, and I know I backed up just a little here. The Lord said through His prophet, or verse 9 rather, we'll start with 9. When thou art... Oh, we were in Deuteronomy, weren't we? Okay, I got two irons in the fire. We'll stay in Deuteronomy for a minute. Then we'll go to Isaiah. We don't want to forget this. Okay. Here's the list that God gave. Verse 9. When thou art come, this is Deuteronomy 18, verse 9. When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. After the abominations? All right? There shall not be found among you. Now notice, the Lord doesn't say, now I would appreciate it if you wouldn't. See, with the kind of so-called preaching there is today, really, in these churches, there isn't any preaching, there's suggestions. And not even anything of any value, but where's the assertiveness? God came out and said, there shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire. Oh, by the way, what do they do in the Roman Catholic religion? They got everybody passing through the fire, don't they? Purgatory. Purgatory, right? And you got to pay money to get out. Well, your relatives do anyway. You don't have any where you are. There isn't any money in purgatory. Is there a purgatory? Now think about it. Think about it. In concept. The only purgatory there is the priest's pocket. That's it. That's purgatory. The priest's pocket. Because he charges money so they can light the candles and get these people out. They devour widows' houses, don't they? The man dies, they're right there for the insurance money. Oh, we can say some high masses. We'll get him right out of there. He's in there cooking and frying and being parboiled already by now. We'll get him out of there. Of course, in advance, they'll sell you scapulars because every Saturday night, St. Joseph goes in there, and if you're wearing a scapular, he'll take you out of purgatory, right? If you get people to believe that kind of nonsense, you can sell a lot of scapulars. If you can get them to believe it, you've got to keep them in the dark, but it's been done. By the way, there are many kinds of passing through the fire. Bill Clinton, did you know that Bill Clinton was a firewalker? Seriously. His best friend does meetings on firewalking. Put the hot coals down, and you walk across the hot coals and don't get your feet burned. Bill Clinton has done that. He's actually bragged about it. Now, anybody who can put hot coals down, walk across there, and not get their feet burned, is under the influence of some kind of a spirit, and it's not God, because God said, don't do it. All right? It also means to literally burn your children and to destroy them as a sacrifice. Do we in this country not have millions of human sacrifices going on by way of abortion at the abortuaries, and after they harvest the collagen so they can put it in the makeup that people rub all over their face and put in their shampoo so they can have a luster and shine in their hair. They harvest this stuff from aborted babies. Then they take parts and sell them to laboratories. There's companies that deal in that. Do I have evidence? Enough to sink a battleship. Finally, when they've harvested all the parts and taken the collagen, extracted everything from these unborn babies, then they burn them. What's left? That's the United States of America, Supreme Court endorsed. The land of the deceived and the home of the depraved. Every American ought to rise up in protest. But they won't, because they're too busy watching Desperate Housewives. I went on the news this morning on the computer, and they had a big ad pop up. I guess there's a new one, new season starting tonight. I don't even know what it's about and don't want to. But it says it's more sizzling than ever. Just what people need, right? Generating all those lust spirits. Well, anyway, you know, there's so much that we could cover, but anyway, it says here that God is absolutely forbidding the sons and daughters to pass through the fire. It says, or that useth divination. Fortune telling of any kind doesn't make any difference what kind. It's all evil. You're not to use it. Tea leaves, bumps on the head, palmistry, scrying into a crystal ball. By the way, any witch would tell you that at the dark mother moon, such as was last night, is a perfect time for scrying into a crystal ball. I saw a picture of Nasty Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, Leader of the House, and she had her head down and she had her hands being held in that Wiccan configuration there. I wonder if she had a crystal ball tucked away they didn't get a picture of. You know, really, I'm serious. These people are deep into the occult and they're running your country. Or an observer of times. Or an enchanter. Or a witch. We got a lot of them running around. And you know, and people don't mind because they've been indoctrinated by the Harry Potter thing and Lord of the Rings and all of the C.S. Lewis nonsense. People have been literally orientated. Have you ever gone through any kind of an orientation for a job? They say, we got to take it's your orientation. That means to be aligned with the Orient or the East. Aligned with the rising sun. So that body, soul, and mind is brought into alignment with the sun on the horizon. Horus rising. The word horizon comes from the words Horus rising, the Egyptian god. It's all built into the vocabulary. Or a charmer. A charmer. Aren't they charmers, these people? Aren't they charming? People use that word as a compliment. Oh, you're so charming. I'm so charmed. Charmed to meet you. You've just put yourself under a spell. Congratulations. Huh? A charm is a spell. Remember that cereal, Lucky Charms? They had all these children, you know. Oh, pink hearts and whatever they were. And little clover, green clovers and all this kind of stuff. Lucky Charms cereal. Of course, they had the alphabets, right? That could be harmless, right? Except the commercial for alphabets is they would pour this steroid. They showed this as children watch the cartoons and watch Bugs Bunny eat his carrots and all the shenanigans. Then the commercial would come on and they'd watch children. Oh, go and tell your mom to buy alphabets. because they pour it in a bowl, pour milk in there, and then talk to the cereal, and it starts to form letters. The letters form words and spells answers back. They use their bowl of cereal like a Ouija board. I think it's rather interesting, too, that Hurricane Kyle went zeroing in, started moving inland near Washington, and then pulled back and moved straight for Salem. What was God? God was pointing his finger, saying, look, what they're doing in Washington is connected to Salem. And now it's moved on through Gloucester up toward Maine. It was amazing to see how God pointed that out, what they were doing at the midnight hour, and connected it with all the Covens in Salem and in Boston. Now, at Halloween time, Boston has a witch train. They call it, its letters are read on it, it's called the witch train. You know why? Because it transports over 50,000 witches from the Boston area into Salem. Special train. The Witch Express. But there's nothing wrong in our country, is there? Huh? Isn't this a Christian nation? Christian nation? Butchering babies, fleecing the people of their money. Anytime they tax money away from you, they're pulling it out of the economy for their own personal use. It's money you can't spend. It's money that doesn't promote business or commerce at all. It goes into Halliburton. It goes into Kellogg, Brown, and Root, all these Dick Cheney companies. Well. God said, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, that's a male witch, not a warlock. Warlock means traitor. A wizard is a male witch. Or a necromancer, one who contacts the dead. Remember Hillary Clinton going in the solarium with Jean Houston and talking to Eleanor, the late Eleanor Roosevelt? Can you imagine somebody in a leadership position going in a solarium and talking to a dead spirit? It was a demon, of course. It couldn't have been Eleanor Roosevelt. Besides, if she was talking to Eleanor Roosevelt, how could she be sure it wasn't J. Edgar Hoover in drag? Well, come on! Head of the FBI dressing up like a woman all the time, just like you got Julie Annie, going to work as mayor of New York when he had that position. He'd get to work, he'd change his clothes, put on a dress, put on a bushy blonde wig, and now he was a woman. And there are people who wanted that man for president. You know, you look around, I got to be honest with you, it's the only way I know how to be. I look around and say, Lord, just get me out of here. But he's got to work for us. It's quite a job. And everybody, if you tell people these things, they're going to think you're crazy. And those who know it's true and don't want it told are going to come against you like a pack of mad wolves. And they're going to talk about you. They're going to label you. They're going to pigeonhole you. They're going to lie about you. They're going to destroy your character. Anything they can do to shut you up. But we've got to get in the battle and fight it like the Apostle Paul did and the other apostles, because if you don't, you're wasting your time. This is an opportunity God has given us to rise up and let people know Jesus is the only way. There is nothing else. He will take care of us. People today in the back of their mind are thinking, what do I need him for? I got Social Security. Just wait. If we've got a national debt of near $10 trillion, we don't have any money. This nation has no wealth. They haven't told you that yet. We're broke. Like a tramp on the street with nothing but holes in his pockets. That's our country. But I know people don't want to think that way. They don't want to believe that way. It interrupts their comfort zone a little too much. We're headed for tough times, like it or not. The Bible tells us perilous times would come. They're here. Let's wake up and behold it and do something about it. You can always pray, and when you pray, the one who created this universe, the one who said all things are possible to them that believe, is challenging us to believe Him, to produce the miracles that will sustain us and also reprove the world of sin. Come on. God said, for all that do these things are abomination. I still can't help reading it that way. Abomination unto the Lord. I mean, that name just... Did you ever notice how sometimes things just fit? They just fit. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. In other words, your effort for Him is to be absolutely constant. Perfect there doesn't mean you've achieved perfection. It means you're striving for it. And when He comes again, it'll be there. Now let's go back to Isaiah. I just wanted to show you that what they're doing in Washington is forbidden by God, is cursed by God. And believe it or not, our money system has a curse on it. All right? Oh, by the way, they did put a safeguard in for the taxpayers. They said that if the plan is successful, Wall Street will pay you back. You feel better? Wall Street will pay you back if it works. They didn't say what would happen if it didn't. And it won't. And if it did, they wouldn't pay you back. Because they don't give up anything. They'd raise the prices on everything. Anyway. You know, like the oil companies have done. Even when oil drops way down per barrel, the price stays way high at the pump, doesn't it? And people, oh, they make excuses and, well, you know, they're doing their best. And oh, come on, wake up. Where are the smelling salts? What this country needs is about 150 million tons of smelling salts dropped on it. Wake people up! But no, they won't. Anyway, God looked at this vineyard and He said this in verse 8, Isaiah 5:8, woe unto them that join house to house, we covered a few of these verses last week, that lay field to field till there be no place, that they may be placed alone in the midst of the earth. People want to live in cities. They feel secure when there's houses all around them, right up next to them. Where they can reach out the window and reach into the other window and shake hands with their neighbor. Huh? Do you ever see places? Hey, go to some of these big cities. They are right together. In mine ears, said the Lord of hosts, of a truth, many houses shall be desolate. That means empty. Are there any empty houses out there? Expensive ones? Empty. Even great and fair without inhabitant. That's foretold in the Word of God. And it is now, in 2008, in the fall of the year. Maybe I should say in the fall of all things. But it's happening now. What happens after the housing crisis that they're admitting to? By the way, over in Europe, I know that the Daily Telegraph in London said that they don't understand the people in this country because we are in a full-scale depression. They'll never use that word. They call it a recession. Recession? When the bottom falls out? We were within 500 points of absolute collapse and meltdown last week. 500 points. It dropped more than 500 one day the week before. That's how fragile it is. Now, you can create money as a government, but it isn't really money. It's fictitious. But they want to get people to believe it exists. Right? But there's always some people out there that are going to yell, the emperor has no clothes. Remember that story? Go back and read some of those children's stories. You'll see all the politics in there, huh? And how true it is. They have no money. The emperor has no clothes. How many remember that story? Look it up and read it. See how it fits. The next problem after the housing crisis, all of these things being manufactured, of course, Ben Bernanke, the head of our Federal Reserve System, this private company that's not government at all, Ben Bernanke said he puts his money in Canadian banks. Doesn't he believe in his own system? Does he know something's going to happen? In fact, does he know something is happening? You know, they had a very interesting little scenario here this past week, just a couple of days ago, I think it was Friday night, when they had Henry Paulson, Secretary of the Treasury, get down on his bended knee in front of Nancy Pelosi and begged her to pass some legislation. Now, they said that was all in jest. Oh, no, it wasn't. She believes she's a goddess. Remember, she's a high priestess. Remember when she stood in front of the house right after they installed her, invested her with spirits? After they inaugurated her, what did she do? She produced a black whip and held it up in her hand. I got a picture of it. She said, "I am now the most powerful woman on earth." There's humility for you. You've got to watch out for a woman with a black whip that says she's the most powerful woman on earth. There's something wrong somewhere. That's not a meek and a quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. I'll tell you that right now. So after the housing crisis, what does the Bible say would come next? "Yea, 10 acres of vineyard shall yield one bath, and the seed of an omer shall yield an ephah." The harvest is smaller than what was planted. Food crisis, food management, food shortage. Watch it, it's coming. The Bible says it is. Verse 11, "Woe unto them that rise up early." By the way, they do have, whether you realize it or not, there already is one. There already is a food crisis. Now, isn't it something over in England where they called this big meeting, worldwide meeting, all the leaders come together to talk about the food crisis and starvation. Then they sat down to a 17-course dinner, but the leaders of Africa were not invited to the dinner, just the meetings. See, they were black. All right? They wouldn't fit into the White Lodge, would they? No Prince Hall allowed. See, a lot of times, they don't want to admit to that. But they don't believe women are human, and they don't believe anybody but the Nordic race, the master race. Only they have the Ein Sof. It's incumbent upon them to lead and rule over those less gifted. That's the arrogance of the system. You know, I might get in trouble for this yet, but I don't care. Anyway, the Word of God tells us that the harvest would be diminished. Then, in verse 11, it says, "Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, and continue until night, till wine inflame them." Hey, you start losing your house, and you don't know where your next meal's coming from. What do people do? They go looking for a bottle. And of course, nowadays, anything that'll put them high. Any kind of a drug. Of course, the government's got plenty to sell them. If they can't afford anything, they go to the doctor, and that drug dealer, the doctor, will write a prescription for them that'll do the same thing as if they bought something on the street. Those pill rollers are writing prescriptions. Do you ever wonder why these doctors... Try to read one of their signatures once. They must be on something if you look at their signature. Do you ever wonder, how can that pharmacist read it? It looks like a chicken with cerebral palsy walked across the page. But anyway. So he tells us here that they'll start drinking, belly up to the bar, drown your sorrows, tear in your beer, right? Forget about they took your house away. Forget about you lost your job. Drown your sorrows, inflame yourself with wine. And the Bible says once they get enough drinks in them, they'll start to feel single and see double. It says, thine eyes shall behold strange women. Then you got more trouble. This country is, it is a satanic tossed salad. Conditions brought on by design by those who want to enslave humanity and eventually bring them into complete subservience to a one-world dictator. Red China last week demanded that we come up with a new world economic order. Universal money. Worldwide. And the harp and the vial, the tabret and pipe and wine are in their feasts, but they regard not the work of the Lord, neither consider the operation of His hands. How many of these people on that committee do you think got down on their knees and called out to the Lord? But they're going to fix it? They're going to ignore God. Of course they will, because they hate Him. They've got a different God, Lucifer. And He says, do it my way. Because He is trying to crush any remaining morality or character or any positive fiber of humanity. He wants to crush that out and cause all people to be desperately subservient to a higher power that He will show Himself to be. It's called the mark of the beast. Some people still say they don't believe it's a real mark and it's a real thing and it's just all, you know, some kind of esoteric jargon. Oh no. You get into Revelation chapter 13 and that word for mark that is, and I'm going to try and pronounce it right or I'll get a phone call from Quebec. My Greek friend up there that listens taught me how to say the word. It isn't charagma, it's charagma. Charagma, the mark. It means to plow into or cut into the flesh. He causeth all. He doesn't say He forceth all. He brings about conditions that would cause them to want to receive it. He causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a charagma. A cutting in the flesh. A planting in the flesh. That no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark of the name of the beast and the number of his name, save he that had that charagma. Come on. Doesn't it say it? I mean, doesn't this situation with this economy kind of shake you a little bit? Especially when the Bible is so specific and detailed in pointing it out. Not only as a system, but sequentially. It's all happening now. Right now. And so they're going to go out there and they're going to pour, they're going to get sozzled because they want to forget about that. When they get that notice to go to their post office and get that mark, you know what? People have had so many tattoos, so many cuttings in the flesh. What's another one, especially when doors will open for you? You can ask access any vending machine, bank account that belongs to you and all that. Yeah, that won't bother them. Bible says you take that, you're on your way to hell. Bible tells us we already have received the mark of our God. The earnest of our inheritance. And those that have sigh and cry for the abominations. God didn't say ignore the abominations. He said sigh and cry for them. And I'll tell you, when these people get into power and they start ramping up and going full throttle into their agenda, That's, you're going to sigh and cry. And you're going to call upon God, and He's going to hear you. And He's going to work miracles for you. Things they don't understand. Things they never could understand. Could you understand how one boy's lunch could feed 5,000? I can't, but God did it. He's the same God today. Scripture says His arm is not shortened. His ear is not heavy. But where is the cry? Where is the reached out, stretched out hand toward God? If we have everything laid out for us, if everybody has everything laid out and we have such a good life, no wonder people don't reach up. They don't think they need Him. There's coming a time when we're going to know it. Oh, are we going to know it? Now, I realize you could stop walking through these doors and go to one of these churches where they will tickle your fancy and pat you on the back and give you a warm, fuzzy feeling and send you home. And you can walk in a bubble of delusion. But what a rude awakening will happen. You know why people hate to hear what I've got to say? I'm not talking about you, but many others out there. Because when it begins to happen, it scares them. They don't know God. My purpose isn't to scare anybody. It's to let them know there is no hope other than Jesus Christ. It's time to do something you should have done all along, and that's call out to God. Amen. It says, neither consider the operation of His hands. Oh, they don't care. Therefore, my people are gone into captivity. Do you realize that the United States citizens of today are in captivity? That there's a big white massa in Washington has taken big bites out of your check, withholding it by fraud? It's called withholding taxes. Read it in James, which is held back by them, of them by fraud. They frame up mischief by a law. It's in the Psalms. And I've been told, oh, you should never talk about any government or governance of any kind. Never mention that. That's not God's will. You know, they are the servant of God. Do you think this Antichrist government is a servant of God? Is the Antichrist himself when he takes over? Is he the servant of God? What is the test of governance? That it be of God or not? It is not a terror to good works. You understand that? Let every soul be subject unto the higher power. Is that talking about God or government? It doesn't say every man, every woman, every soul. Our souls are to God only, not man. See, they got to read all the words, not just the ones they like. That Romans chapter 13 is telling us the opposite of what people say it means. Our souls are subject to the higher power. Our souls are subject only to God. He said, be not the servants of men. Therefore, my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge. They just don't know. Nobody tells them. Oh, I feel just distressed sometimes about ministers in the pulpit who will not tell people even the little bit they do know. They're locked in to this thing. And their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. Therefore, hell hath enlarged herself. Hell was made for the devil and his angels. But God had to make hell bigger. You see it? There had to be an expansion program go on here. All these churches, oh, we better build a bigger one, crystal cathedrals, big auditoriums, build them bigger and bigger. That's right, hell hath enlarged herself. If you're going to preach the truth, you will never need a building program. I guarantee it. There's always going to be empty seats. Just preach the truth and forget about adding on. Hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure. and their glory and their multitude and their pomp. And he that rejoiceth shall descend into it. All of that music playing, hail to the chief, and all this stuff, and the president walking, and all this. And, hey, that's all going to hell. Come on. And the mean man shall be brought down. Mean there means average. The average people are brought down by this. And the mighty man shall be humbled, and the eyes of the lofty shall be humbled. But the Lord of hosts shall be exalted in judgment, and God that is holy shall be sanctified in righteousness. Then shall the lambs... What does the Bible say we are? We are His people and the sheep of His pasture, right? Then shall... And all this going on, all crumbling around us, then shall the lambs feed after their manner. Hey, that sounds good to me. We don't excel in the world, but we feed after our manner. As God feeds us, He takes care of us. And the waste places of the fat ones shall strangers eat. They're going to lose it all. 100% of nothing is nothing. They've got nothing. They're playing a board game, and it's almost over. Woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity, and sin as it were with a cart rope. What does that mean? They put their sin on parade. Gay pride? Parades? The San Diego Gay Pride Parade, one of the biggest ones in the country, rivals San Francisco, San Queer Cisco, whatever, anyway. And the parade in, Gay Pride Parade in San Diego, they gather, get all the floats together and everything. Those floats are going to sink. But they put all this thing together on Normal Street. In San Diego, Normal Street. See, they're normal. You're a homophobe. See? Hey, I'm not afraid of them. Phobia is fear. I just know what they are and don't want anything to do with them. So it says, woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity and sin, as it were, with a cart rope, putting it on display, putting it on parade. That say, let him make speed and hasten his work, that we may see it, and let the counsel of the Holy One of Israel draw nigh and come, that we may know it. In other words, let him show himself. They're challenging God. Can you imagine? They're saying, all right, God, show yourself. Hurry up, come on, bring it on. They're asking for it. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. Any of that? That put darkness for light and light for darkness. That put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Only in an Antichrist society could such a thing happen. When all values are lost. And a new set of values come in, which really are no values at all. The things that they esteem to be of value are cursed of God. Therefore, they will all go down together. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. They're proud of what they did last night in destroying our country even further. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle strong drink. You know what else they did? They had a big party and a big dinner to celebrate it. Champagne corks a-popping. We did it again. We pulled it out over on the people. See, they're saying their power is the power to tax. Steuerkraft, as the Germans would say. Tax power. We got all these people out there. They're all subservient to us. We'll get them in some kind of a economy, and we will pull taxes more and more. Obama's going to raise taxes, you know. You watch. To do what he wants to do, he'll raise them high. And they're already, you know what the definition, I got to hurry along here. The definition, if you want to define words, of a slave is one who has to work and is not allowed to keep the fruit of his labor. That's the definition of a slave. Definition of a free man is one who works and is able to keep and enjoy the fruit of his labor. That when you get that money, you can give it away, spend it, burn it, throw it, anything you want to do, it's yours. You know what that means? You, folks, are 56% slave, all things factored in, and 44% free. Okay? And what does it say? Okay, my yellow light came out. I've only got a few minutes. So it says, woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle strong drink. Remember John McCain and Hillary Clinton having a drinking contest in Japan until they passed out? Right under the table. And John McCain said, that Hillary, she's just like one of the guys. Yeah. Remember that old Frankie Valli song? Walk like a man, talk like a man. Yeah, she's a little of each, but not enough of neither. Anyway. Word of God says in verse 23, which justify the wicked for reward and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. They rob righteousness, they want to do away with righteousness, and they will reward the wicked every time. Mahabon. They get in trouble, is there no help for the widow's son, right? Therefore, as the fire devoureth the stubble and the flame consumeth the chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness. I told you they were rotten. Now I got the Bible agreeing with me. And their blossom shall go up as dust because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. And then it goes on and tells us about the anger of the Lord being kindled. I have to summarize this. And you know what God said in the rest of this chapter? You can read it on your own. I have to conclude the message here in a moment. God said He will bring a foreign power in to consume and destroy and take over all the wealth of the country. Have you looked around lately? Is the Bible accurate? Did God warn us? Did He say it would happen? And right in order, it's happening. You know what that tells me? God's in charge. I don't worry about it. I just don't worry about it. I don't get into fear. Our God will sustain us. If I can't believe that, I can't believe anything. And I know He will take care of us as soon as we start to depend upon Him 100% and not depend on other things. God knows no rivalry at all. If He is not Lord of all, He's not Lord at all. But He is Lord of all. Amen. So we're going to stop right here. There is trouble in the vineyard, but God will save us out of it. And I'm looking for that great and glorious and glad day when, just as the final wrath of God is about to be poured out, the last trumpet will sound. And the Scripture does say we will rise to meet Him in the air. Not a secret rapture, but a grand, glorious gathering heralded by a trumpet and the shout of the archangel. And when this world is experiencing the ultimate wrath of God, we will be abiding in His very hands, awaiting, as Peter said, a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. It all sounds like such a miracle. Yep. And that is what God does, and God is a worker of wonders. Father in heaven, we know there's trouble in this land. But we know, Lord, that we have a great hope. It just helps so much to even just see these things clearly and know that Thou hast all things in control. Lord, we're here this morning not just to hear this, but to surrender our lives to Thee, to surrender our hearts to Thee, to hold nothing back, but to absolutely conform to Thy ways. Now, Lord Jesus, in Thy mercy, and in thy grace touch every heart in this building, all of those listening on the internet around this whole wide world, all of those that will later hear the recordings all over this world. Lord, touch their hearts. And, O God, draw them by thy power unto thyself and reveal thy greatness unto them in salvation. And we ask it in Jesus' name, through the power of the blood, let Satan be rebuked. Give us victory through thy word, through thy name, and through the testimony of thy blood that thou hast put within us. And in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.